Awesome. Thank you, guys. Well, praise God. Get your Bibles out this morning. And if you would, go to, just throw it open for a minute. Throw it open to the middle and you'll be safe. Before I forget it, I want to say that, you know, Wednesday is the 4th of July. If y'all didn't know that. And so what I think we're going to do here, instead of having a regular Wednesday night church service, I think we're just going to not have a church service Wednesday night. Now, am I right? The fireworks, everything's going to go off in Utopia? Everything is still set to... Everything's still set, right? We're not too dry and nothing that got shut down. Is that right? Do I have a definite yes on that? Does anybody that has any authority around here know? All y'all see, everybody's just kind of... Yeah. Signs are posted? Okay, so you know, if you've never been a part of that, you know, you've missed it because we have a great fireworks display. And so the park's going to be full and everything else is going to be full around here. And so so that's going to be right at, 9 o'clock, something like that, right when it starts to get dark. So anyway, and I know it's a big time to be a family and all, but what I think we'll do is just, we're going to open up the fellowship hall, and we're going to open up the pavilion out here. If y'all want to come over, and the pit will be out there, and if y'all want to come over and, you know, you've got family or friends or whatever, before you get ready for the fireworks, if y'all want to barbecue or whatever, we're just going to open up the grounds here for y'all just to come. Y'all can basically create whatever you want to create. But as far as the church service goes, because there's no way to really, I think we need to celebrate the 4th of July. Amen. The nation right now needs you. And if there's ever a time to stand and sing the Star Spangled Banner and pray for America, it's now. Amen. And so that's an important thing. And so it's important, I think, to be with family. I think it's important to be a part of the community and to be a part of that. And I didn't forget you. And so, that's a side note. I'm over here. I've got my mind going about 4 or 5 areas, so y'all just hang on there. So, so that's what we're going to do. So Wednesday, if you know anybody that is not here in church this morning that would have might come over thinking church is going to be at regular times, just give them a call and tell them it's not. Amen? Okay. Let's go to the end of the book this morning. Let's start out. I usually preach from the forward to the end, and then I'm going to start from the end, and I'll work way to the beginning. Go to the book of Revelation, chapter 22. You know, I sometimes wonder, you know, if I have any intelligence at all. You know, it's so funny that you can read your Bible and you can read it in a certain way, and if you don't watch it, you start getting like a religious mind to yourself. And you start reading your Bible based upon, you know, maybe what the imagery of the world throws up as religion or whatever. You know, it's like I always joke about the picture of Jesus holding a lamb. And I said, nobody does that. You don't pick up a lamb and pet it like a dog. It stinks. It's got burrs all on its coat, man. Nobody wants to mess with a stinky lamb. I know Jesus is smart enough not even want to mess with that. So there's some imagery that I just don't believe is even right. But anyway, and so I was reading the other day, and I came across this, and I don't know where I'm going with this. I just thought this was a very interesting passage of Scripture, and I thought I'd just tear into it. So this is just a off-the-cuff free preach this morning. So Revelation chapter 22, verses 12 through 14. The Lord's speaking, and he says, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commands, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." You know, if you look at Alpha and Omega, the words Alpha and Omega, it means, and there's 24 letters in the Greek alphabet. And Alpha is the first and Omega is the last. And so, and then he goes on to say, "I'm the first and the last." And so, you know, the connotation here Is God saying, you know, I'm the head, I'm not the tail, or as he said, I am the first, I'm not the last, I'm the Alpha and I'm the Omega. Okay? Y'all with me? Well, I don't know, I just read across that, and as I read across it, when I read Alpha, something just struck me differently. Because I got to thinking about, like, a dog pack or a wolf pack. And I got to thinking about the Alpha male. That he's number one. And I got to looking at this in a different light. And I said, wait a minute. You know, if you just put a little, take the religious twist off of it, and of being the Greek alphabet, and saying, you know, wait a minute here. God's saying, I am the big dog. I am the head of the pack. I am the I am. I am God Almighty. I am the first, and I'm always going to be the first. But then yet, I also can be the Omega. I can be the servant if I need to be. Because when Jesus came to this earth, he came to this earth, he didn't come as a dominating Lord. He didn't come down to this earth to start a riot and a revolution. He came down to this earth to give his life for us, to pay the price for our sins, to lay his life down. And Jesus said, I didn't come as a king right now. I came as a servant. And I came to serve. So God's saying, look, I can be the Alpha male, the leader of the pack. I can be the Alpha in your life. You know, if your life is submitted to Jesus, and if you're submitted to God as he is the Lord of your life. He is the God of your life. Well, then, you know, it's kind of easy when you sit back in the pack to know you're being taken care of by an Alpha like that. The Bible says when God comes back, when Jesus appears, it says that at this one point that the mountains will melt like wax and that the sky will roll up like a scroll. That's pretty impressive. Melting mountains like wax? Ain't nobody melting mountains like wax. We mine mountains for years and years just to get the ore out of it and nothing happens to the mountain. How many of y'all have been amazed? You got to have been around here for a while at the hill in Canepa. You know, the rock quarry. Now, my whole life, that thing's been there. And they've been chinking at that hill. Right? Y'all remember when the old structure was up? The old wooden structure was there? You know, when you drive by and you see that thing and it just dust blowing out of it and it'd been there forever. And they're chinking at the side of the hill. And, I mean, they've worked my whole life. Because I can remember from the smallest of a child. And now I'm about to be 51. And so, you know, for 51 years, I know for sure. And before that, they've been chinking at that hill and just now got it level, and that's now starting to go below ground level. You see what I'm saying? So that's all man could do around here. But the Bible says when he appears, man, and that's the Alpha in the pack that I'm in. Y'all following my thinking here? I like being a part of the winning team. I don't know if you've ever got this from me. I don't like to lose. I've never liked to lose. I have a cowboy mentality in me. I'll throw dirt in your face and hit you in the head with a rock before I lose. There's no Marcus of Queensbury rules in my life, man. I want to win. So I don't play golf. The temptation to cheat is overwhelming. And I cheat like a dog, man, I'm telling you. It brings out the absolute worst in me. I've even been known to pick up a golf ball and throw it rather than try to swing at it with a club, okay? So I'm terrible. And so I just leave the game alone because it just brings out my absolute worst side. But I don't like to lose. And I'm glad to know that that the Alpha in my pack is God. But then there's the other side, the flip side, the Omega, the servant side. That God can be not only the one who leads you and tells you, but he's also there to turn right around and say, well, I'm here to comfort you. I'm here to help you. I'm here to be with you. I'm here to hold your hand. I'm here to walk with you. I'm here to forgive you of your sins. I'm here to show you mercy. I'm here to show you grace. You see, mankind, we always try to get hooked on just one side or the other. We get over here and we're just saying, oh, well, this is God's like this. Oh, he's just waiting to fry you. And then you've got the other side over here and everybody's saying, oh, no, God loves everybody. Well, he does love everybody, but everybody doesn't love him. And it's, they can't get it together to understand in their mind and their concept how he can be the Alpha and the Omega. But I'm here to tell you he is. I'm here to tell you that he is both. He is the Alpha, the leader of the pack, that if you need somebody to get it done in your life, he's the guy to go to. If you got trouble in your life, he's the guy that has an answer. If you've got problems in your life, he is the God who will come into your life and help you sort it out. He is real. He is alive. He's not dead. Hello? But he's also the Omega. He's also the God that can come into your life and speak to you and comfort you and touch you and be so subtle as to just give you a little nudge because he doesn't want to violate your free will. Now, mankind has this great ability because God gave us a free will to choose to do what we want to choose one way or the other. Right? He didn't want robots. He wanted free will beings. He wanted people to just come to freely worship him, to freely praise him, to freely love him. And with that comes a great cost. Because then mankind has the ability to say, no, I don't want you in my life. Hello? Right now, the world, for some reason, but I know what the reason is because, you know, it's the enemy working in the minds of the people, but he wants to make everything equal for everybody. And I'm going to tell you something, that's not right. Listen to me, I want to say this and hear me. God is not a communist. God is not trying to smooth the playing field down to make it all level and say, okay. No, he's thrown it all open through the blood of Jesus and said, you can have whatever you want to if you'll believe him and walk in it. And the problem with it in life is people don't want to work at anything anymore. People don't want to get in there and pay the price. People don't want to go in there and do what it takes to win. They want it handed to them. And that's never going to be successful with God. I was reading quotes from George Washington. And I was just listening to what this man said, our very first president, and thinking about the Revolutionary War and looking at what the attitude of the people in those days, knowing that they were going to spill their blood and fight for American freedom so that we could walk in it today. And I just began to just question. I said, Lord, I wonder how many people in the world would be willing to fight for American freedom today. And I really believe they couldn't do it. I believe we can because we're out here in the country and we all have a different mind. But if you put all of us together and mix it all together, everybody's going to be arguing about what should happen, how it should be, and this and that, and the other stand running, and nobody's going to make a decisive decision. We can see that in Washington right now. Ain't nobody getting nothing done. Hello? This 4th of July, I got this message all mixed up and everything. Okay, y'all just got to sort it all out because I got so many thoughts in my head. Okay, so this is like a baby dedication, 4th of July, regular Sunday service, all just kind of tied up, mixed in one, and just kind of spilled out over y'all this morning. Then we're going to have communion later to try to keep it all, just kind of close it all out, okay? Y'all just have to forgive me. I'm just kind of all over the place this morning. But I mean, seriously, unless America gets focused again, and puts God as the Alpha, we're in trouble. See, when God's in charge of your life, and he is the Alpha of the pack, then you submit to him, and then your direction and your course is set. You're going to follow him, right? He's the Alpha of the pack, and you're following him. So all you have to do is open your Bible, read what it says, and do it. Pretty simple. But when you want to invent God in the way that you want to invent God so that it appeases it to you the most so that you don't have to change. Then I want to tell you something, you're in trouble. Hello. Look at the person beside you and say, man, I just love it when Pastor Robert preaches like this. It's just interesting because you see, like I'm preaching to the choir here because I get to preach to a bunch of country people and that we all believe we have this foundation, this faith and belief in God in us. I mean, the majority of us, even when we were the worst heathens in the world, we still had a godly fear on the inside of us. Right? I remember when one of my, you know, nights and I was out carousing around when I shouldn't have been, and one of the guys wanted to go break into a church, and I said, "Man, you'll die right there. I gotta kill you on the steps right there, man. You're gonna burn in hell for that, boy. You ain't gonna mess with that." And you know, I'm like, and everybody just looked at me. You know, I mean, I was, you know, just in the middle, but I was like, "Man, I gotta have reverence for God there. I mean, you draw the line there, boy. You even go near it, I hope he kills you, you know. I mean, fry you on the foot of the door. Says, I'll tell you, there it is, man. Sweep you up in a dustpan, I'm telling you." I just berated all of them, you know. I mean, because it's raised in us. It's the right, the deal to what's right and what's wrong. Are y'all with me? But for the rest of the world, it's not like that because they're not submitted to God being the alpha of their life. And the most important thing that we can start to do, church, as a congregation, and is to pray for this nation and to pray that this nation turns back to putting God as number one. Everybody doesn't want to put God as number one because they say, "Well, it's America. We're supposed to be out there. We're supposed to make it good, you know, good for everybody and everybody." Da, 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 da. No, listen to me. That's not what this nation was founded upon. It's founded upon that if you want to go out there and worship a tree, go do it. Well, the rest of us are over here going this way, doing this, and you can go out there and have freedom to do that. We're not going to persecute and worship in the tree, but that's your business. But this is where the nation's going. Not, we don't want to offend somebody because we talked about God. Hello? He says, "I'm the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last." In other words, God's going to have the last word, church. God is going to have the last word. No matter what goes on, no matter what happens in this world. Listen, God's going to have the last word. It's written. It's already finished. It's already done. He's going to have the last word. We win. Come on, Lord, let the rain keep falling. We ought to all just, you know, stop for a while and just look out the window here and say, That's a sign and a wonder there. You don't get to see it much. Rain falling from the sky. You sure somebody just didn't have a sprinkler turned on outside? Yeah, God's got it turned on. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Okay, let's go to the old to the book of Job, chapter 19. Let me show you something here. Y'all just bear with me a little bit. Just let me get up on my soapbox and just complain for a little bit. In Job chapter 19, verse 23, Job makes a statement. It's the only smart statement Job made through the whole book of Job. Everybody always talks about, what about the book of Job? But if you go read the book of Job and really study the book of Job, Job was in error from chapter 1 until about chapter 42. This is the only statement he made through the whole time that made really was any sense. And the only reason why in chapter 42 he lined up is because God showed up on the scene and said, "Who in the world do you think you are? And who do you think you're talking to?" But here he made a smart statement. He said, "Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. That they were engraved on a rock with an iron pen and lead forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives. And he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God." Folks, there's an attitude that has to come into your life. And the attitude is that I know that I'm right and I'm not changing. Do not let anybody turn your way of thinking that to serve God and to walk righteously, to not lie, cheat, and steal, to hold God up in with godly reverence, to worship and serve Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that there is anything to be ashamed of. That the Ten Commandments are right, and there should be more than 10. Y'all with me? And that to love your neighbor and pray for your enemy, though you don't like it, you're going to do it because the Alpha said so. Y'all with me? You're like, I got to watch myself and limit myself on how many Western movies I can watch. Because especially the old ones, where, you know, they're just in a bar, they throw whiskey in one another's face and walk out in the street and shoot it out. See, I like that because I ain't no praying for enemies or nothing like that. You just go out there and deal with it. You just better be faster, better be quicker, make sure that you got it down, you know. You can have confidence. If you don't, well then, you know, don't be throwing whiskey in nobody's face. Right? You ever notice how in all the old Westerns, they always, you know, they always are standing for the guy that's getting oppressed, you know. They always are there for the downtrodden and whatever. It's just a godly principle, you know. And kind of get Old Testament there, you know. I wanted to go back to the days of David and just look at his mighty men and say, take that guy's head off, okay? But the bottom line is we cannot change, we cannot back up, we cannot step back. Right here in the middle of this 4th of July is the time that we need to stand up more than ever and say, no, well, this is a nation that was founded upon a belief in God Almighty and in Jesus Christ. And we stand up and we fight for it, and we fight for what is we know to be true, we fight for what we know to be right, and that this is one thing that we do know, that we're going to see God, that God is real and that He's alive, and this is the way it's going to be. And if you don't like it, you're going to have to go somewhere else. Hello? Until we get some people in America that are willing to rise up and be like our forefathers, to stand up in the middle of tyranny and injustice and walk right in the middle of the face of it and scream as loud as they can and to be heard. Until we get a chance to be able to change the news media from ever being publishing things the way that they want it on their slant, not what's the truth, well, then there's nobody but you to stand in the gap. And so you got to do it. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instructions. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. It's not the fear of like, oh my God, I'm going to get fried. It's the fear and reverence of knowing that what you know, you know. And what you know is right. Hello? There's nothing wrong with knowing that you're right. Are y'all with me? There's nothing wrong with saying you're right. Listen, there's only something wrong when you tell somebody else they can't go do it, what they want to go do. You may want to advise them that wouldn't be the best. You may want to give them the knowledge of what you believe, but that to go out there and tell somebody they can't go worship a tree if they want to, that's... God gave us free will. God isn't going to overcome my free will, then I can't overcome their free will, you know? I mean, where's reason? Where is there any sense left in the world? Y'all with me? I want to read this to you. This is a quote from George Washington on August the 27th of 1776 to the Continental Army. Let's see if I can read this without messing it up. The time is now near at hand, which must probably determine whether Americans are to be free men or slaves, whether they are to have any property they can call their own, whether their houses and their farms are to be pillaged and destroyed, and themselves consigned to a state of wretchedness from which no human effort will deliver them. The fate of unborn millions will now depend, under God, on the courage and the conduct of this army. Our cruel and unrelenting enemy leaves us only the choice of brave resistance or the most abject submission. We have therefore to resolve to conquer or die. That was our very first president. Wow. To stand in front of an army and say, we believe in something enough that we're either going to conquer our enemy or we're going to die trying. Pretty impressive. He also said, kind of a paraphrase here, he also said that the greatest means of peace is a well-standing army. All I'm telling you, church, is on this 4th of July, we need to get it right. We need to make sure that we have the right alpha in charge of our lives. We need to stand up and do everything that we can and voice our opinion to every person that's around us that God is right. We're not ashamed of it. That we do believe in God and we do believe in Jesus Christ, His Son, as our Savior. And this is the way we believe. And we declare our Redeemer lives and we ain't backing off of it. And we're willing to stand and conquer or die trying. If enough Americans get that attitude in their heart, then this nation will change. Because they'll put God first again, and they'll have the fear of God in their lives. And things will change. I want y'all to understand, I do not believe America's lost. I believe America can change. I believe God, in one moment, one second, can swoop down, change the hearts of men, because they opened their hearts and cried out to Him. Do I believe we're on the edge? I believe we're on a great precipice. That the freedoms that we have and the freedoms that we've walked in are right now, at this day and time, in peril. I believe that if we don't rise up as Christians and stand for what we believe, I believe all that we have and all we've won will be lost. In the end, I'm going to win anyway, because I'm going to heaven. All right? But there sure are a lot of people going to be hurting between now and then that don't have to. You know, God's blessed me with the ability to go to a lot of places and see a lot of things. And I've seen a lot of hurting people in a lot of destitute places. And I've seen the gospel come into their lives, and I've seen people be happy and have nothing. Y'all with me? But their suffering and their endurance and their longevity of life was short. And it makes me sick to know that it doesn't have to be that way. The other day we had some officials come to the orphanage in Guatemala. And they went into the facility, and they had already come from a facility that they had closed down because they found out that they were cutting the children's rations and selling the food off of the side, and that the children were malnourished, and because the state pays those certain facilities, we don't take any money from the government, but those facilities that took money from the government, so they're basically getting as many children in there as they could to get the head count as high as they could, so they could get the money, and then they were scamming it off and starving the kids. And so they came in there with an attitude to shut us down. They entered into the gate of the facility and they began to look around. They went down to the cafeteria. They saw the meals. They saw everything we had and they began to weep and cry. We're talking about officials with guns on their side. They began to weep and cry and said, "Thank y'all for this. This is the way an orphanage should be. This is the way these children should be able to live." And when they did that, you know, it made all of us kind of wake up to see really what's going on, what really is taking place there. And I think that's what's got to happen to America, is they got to wake up and see what's really happening and really see where the downfall was taking God out of being the Alpha. Everybody wants Him to be the Omega and do what they want Him to do, but He is the Alpha. And you can't take the Alpha out of the pack and the pack know what to do. Amen? Amen? Amen. Well, praise God. Let's have communion. Ladies, can y'all bring the communion down? You know, here at Living Waters Church, we have an open communion service. And everyone, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're more than welcome to have communion with us. But it's a time of reflection. To look into our hearts and see really where are we communing with the Lord? Where are we walking and what are we doing with Him? And I think that, you know, maybe coming up to the 4th, you know, now's the time to look and grab hold of resolve on the inside of us and make a determination in our hearts that You know, God is the Alpha of our life. And so I'm going to have my pastoral team come down. I'm a prayer team so that I can serve you communion, so that y'all can help me serve the rest of the congregation. But as they're coming down here, come on up here and play something, sweetheart. That's my wife, by the way, sweetheart. I am the preacher who ran off with a piano player. I didn't do it. But let's take some reflection in our own hearts this morning. And let's just look at our own lives. There was a high price paid for us to come up here this morning and have communion. The Bible just simply says that Jesus, the night that he was betrayed, that he took bread. And then he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, now come and take and eat. For this is my body which is broken for you. Church, there was a high price paid. It was Jesus' body upon a cross that paid the price for us, but it also gave us an entrance into heaven, an ability to walk into the throne of God, where the Alpha God sat, where we could come in and where we could receive everything that we need from Him, whether it's body, soul, or spirit. Because he was broken so that we could be made whole. Then after the supper, he took the cup. And he said, now, take this cup and drink from you, all of you. For this is a new covenant that's poured out in my blood for the forgiveness of your sins. There's nothing greater in life than to know that you're right with your God. And though this is just a cup of grape juice, but it's amazing what faith will do and what the words of the Bible say. He said, if you confess your sin, that he's faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So that was his words. So you can come up here this morning, and no matter what transgressions you've got, no matter what you slipped and fell, no matter if you slipped and fell on the end of the tank and got mud all over you. He said, man, I'll take you and clean you up. I'll bless you. I'll help you get back on the right way. I'll get that mud off your boots. Just ask me. And I'll forgive you. And just receive my forgiveness. So, Lord, we thank you for what this cup and what this bread represents, Lord God. For the forgiveness of our sins, Lord, and the healing of our bodies. We thank you for it.